We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So let's wrap things up with a look at the future at cornerback. So we discussed in the previous section where Micah Bell's departure could potentially create some issues in the slot if there are some injuries. I think it probably takes more than one to create that issue. Yeah, but Notre Dame already has one injury at outside corner with Benjamin Morrison. Jordan Clark has had some moments and times where he's had some little bumps and bruises. No, I don't believe he's had anything major, but even something as simple as missing a game, depending on what game it could be, could create some issues that you have to look into. So I think there's a potential of it creating some problems from a depth standpoint. Right now, I think Notre Dame's going to be okay, even without Mike. I would still rather have him, but I think they're going to be okay with him gone. Where my confidence is even greater is kind of looking at the future of the position. And there's two aspects of that. One is, what's the makeup of your current roster? And from a depth and a youth standpoint, and then what do you have coming in? And so that's what we're going to do here in this final section. So number one, let's look at the present roster with the projection past 2024. Ideally, in a perfect world for Notre Dame, and some of you might disagree with this, but in a perfect world for Notre Dame, Benjamin Morrison's not coming back in 2025. What I mean by perfect world for Notre Dame is the only way Benjamin comes back, in my opinion, is A, he has an injury that causes him to miss a lot of time, or B, he doesn't play that well. And then he gets the feedback from the NFL that says, hey, you need to go back to college, right? I don't think either one of those are ideal. And you say, well, but that'll help him in 2025. Yeah, but is that really best for Notre Dame? Isn't what's best for Notre Dame in 2024 for Benjamin Morrison to be the best version of himself and be healthy and then dominate and then go be a first-round draft pick? I actually think that's better for Notre Dame than issues causing Benjamin to come back in 2025. And I know a counter argument can be, yeah, but look at 23. Cam Hart's injury caused him to go back to college, and him and Benjamin were great. And he became he may become a day two pick. The difference is Cam's had some injuries that were more long-term problematic, and it wasn't a guarantee that Cam was going to leave anyway. The injuries ensured that he was going to come back, But Cam wasn't a borderline first-round pick before his shoulder injury. Benjamin's in a different situation. So I do think it's best for Notre Dame that he leaves. So let's, for the sake of this conversation, let's talk about Benjamin being healthy and being the player that we all think he can be, and go from there. And so let's get into that. Okay. So assume he's gone. Let's talk about the future cornerback.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, number one, what you have for 2025, you have Jaden Mickey will be back for 2025. You'll have Christian Gray back for 2025. You'll also have Carson Hobbs and Leonard Moore, plus your 25 recruiting class. So I actually like the cornerback depth for 2025 because you'll have Christian Gray, who I think has got a chance to be a star. You'll have Jaden Mickey, who's a very good football player. I mean, in past years, there's no conversation that Jaden Mickey's not only starting, but he might be your best corner. I mean, Jaden Mickey's probably your best cornerback on your roster in 2020, a playoff team. He's probably starting for you in 2019, a junior version of Jaden Mickey. Junior version of Jaden Mickey's starting for you in 2021, a team that went 11-2, right? I think he would have started over Clarence Lewis because he's already beat out Clarence Lewis. And Clarence Lewis is a starter in 20 and 21. So now it's like, okay, it's a battle. He may not start, he may start, but he's going to play a lot. So going into 25, you're in a situation where Jaden and Christian, your starters, you're still great at corner as long as they're both healthy. And now you've got the young guys in Carson Hobbs and Leonard Moore will have a year under their belt, and they'll be pushing for those number two backup jobs. So that's kind of where they are. And so I feel comfortable with that, but you're going to need your freshmen to come in. This is, but here's the deal. 25, you should be okay if you don't have any freshmen ready to compete right away. But I always want competition. Here's the issue. They could be going into 2026 without Jaden Mickey and Christian Gray. Jaden Mickey's done after 25. He played as a true freshman at 22. He played in 2023, so he's only got 2 years left. So barring him getting hurt and missing a chunk of this season, Jaden's only got 2 years left, which means 25 is his last year. If Christian Gray is the player I think he can be, it's not a guarantee he's going to be back either. And so when you look at the future of the position, where Micah Bell might hurt you a little bit is if he developed into the player that I hoped he could be, you have those three together on the field at the same time. You in 25, you'd have Micah Bell in the slot. You'd have Christian Gray on one side, Jaden Mickey on the other. And then 2026, you might be bringing back Christian Gray and Micah Bell. Well, now you're not bringing back Micah Bell. You're not going to have Jaden Mickey. And it's not a guarantee that you're going to have Christian Gray for 4 years. He's that good. And so now this, to me, puts a lot of pressure on Notre Dame's recruiting efforts in the 2025 class. We could say, hey, listen, they can go to the portal. But guys, listen, there are some positions where Notre Dame can go to the portal and it's proven to get starters. Corner's not one that they've been able to do that with any kind of consistency. They haven't necessarily needed it. You know, Trayshawn Devones is a guy that is a good player, but I don't know that he's a guy that you go out and get and he's starting for you and you go win a championship. Nick McLeod was a good football player. Nick McLeod saved Notre Dame secondary in 2020. There's no doubt. But we also saw against Clemson in the ACC title game, and we also saw in the college football playoff that there were some limitations to Nick McLeod. He's not Benjamin Morrison. He's not Christian Gray. He's not Cam Hart. He's not that kind of player. So we don't have evidence that Notre Dame can lose a Christian Gray or a Jaden Mickey and go to the portal and replace them with a similar caliber player. Cornerback is going to have to be a high school recruiting and development position that you then plug depth in and play. And somebody had mentioned, you know, Lamrec, you mentioned Cody Riggs, and he was a good player. But I think we should be able to agree that Cody Riggs ideally is a guy that comes in and he's your number three corner if you're trying to compete for a championship. And that's the standard for Notre Dame. And so when you look at the 25 recruiting class, you're talking about kids that have a shot to come in and be in the two deep right away. And then you need to make sure you're recruiting guys that are then going out there in 26 and becoming that dude at their position. And now, whereas before you felt like if Micah Bell can develop, he might be your future nickel. Now you have no future at nickel. So Jaden Osbury is going to be a redshirt sophomore in 25. But again, that's more of a hybrid position. You still need those cover guys. You still need those corner safety types. And that's where the future is really shaky. Outside cornerback in the very near present and future is loaded. Benjamin Morrison, Christian Gray, Jaden Mickey in the fall of 2024. 25, you still have Christian Gray and Jaden Mickey. You're really good there. Y'all know I love Leonard Moore. Carson Hobbs had a really good senior season. He can run. But after 25, if Leonard Moore is everything I think he can be, okay, you're good there. If Carson Hobbs is everything we hope he could be, you know, you're good there. But what about what's behind it? And are you going to bring in guys that maybe can beat those guys out or at least maybe beat out one of those guys? That's where the 25 class that's come in. But also now the 25 class has to restock you at nickel. That's a big key. And we're going to all look for different options. And like Eric Santini just mentioned, you know, maybe Ivan Taylor. But this goes back to the previous conversation. Let's say you do move Ivan Taylor to nickel. Well, now your safety position's not as strong. So you want to keep Ivan Taylor at safety. You want to keep Jadon Blair at safety if you're able to get him. You want to keep, you know, you want to keep a guy like Ethan Long at safety. But yet, but that's why getting a guy like Ivan Taylor is good, though, because if you get Ivan Taylor and you get Jadon Blair, now, to your point, Eric, you can now say, hey, look, we can do some things with Ivan Taylor in the slot because you've got Jadon Blair, because you have Ethan Long, because you have Bronte Johnson and Kennedy Urlacher on the back end moving forward. You feel good about it. So, for one, this makes landing Jadon Blair vitally important from a recruiting standpoint, because now it gives you that extra safe depth at safety to where a guy like Ivan Taylor, who's so versatile that he could play field corner, that he could play slot, or he could start at both safety positions, is huge. But if you don't get Jadon Blair, then it's going to be a lot harder to justify moving Ivan Taylor down and away from safety into more of a full-time slot position, because you kind of need that type of thing. So that's a big part of it as well. So I want to begin with specifically about Micah Bell's position by talking about how Jadon Blair is could be a big part of that. But also what I've said is Notre Dame ideally wants to have more of a corner type of player to be there as well. And knowing Al Golden, I could see a scenario where he would want to have a corner there, a safety there, and a linebacker type of guy there. Because every single guy gives you different matchup advantages. So when you look at the 25 recruiting, you have Cree Thomas already committed. Big fan of Cree Thomas, talented player, a guy that I like as a football player, guy that I think brings a lot of ability to the table, and is very underrated player. You guys know I was very high on Benjamin Morrison when he was coming out, and while I don't have Cree graded out as high as I had Benjamin, I think Cree is still a very good football player. So he's obviously where this conversation begins, and keeping him in the class is going to be important. I have no reason to believe that they're not going to keep him in the class. I think Cree, from everything I've been told, is completely locked in and set and ready to go. So that's a really good place to start, because what I like about Cree is I do think he brings you some positional flexibility. As I've mentioned this before, I think Cree's a guy that could play safety, which he actually played as a junior in high school. I'm actually going to pull up some highlights. We're going to watch a little bit of film here while I'm talking about this kind of stuff. How's that sound, everybody? So the thing about Cree is, yes, he could play some safety. He could play boundary, but he's not really a guy that I view as a, you know, plug him in at nickel and let him play there. I think he's more of an outside corner to safety type of guy. And that's where I think his value is as a player. So he doesn't really specifically address the Micah Bell issues, but I do think he helps solidify the outside cornerback position. And if Cree's as good as I think he can be, he's at the very least a two deep caliber player that's going to be part of your rotation and provide you things that we saw Jaden Mickey provide the defense this past couple seasons. And so I think that's something that Cree brings to the table that I like as a player. And I think that's going to help Notre Dame as they move forward. But you will need at least two more guys at cornerback in this class. And so where Notre Dame is with Cree, the minimum of what they're trying to do is they want to add at least two more corners to the table. That's to meet the need of talent, of numbers, just numbers, they need two more pure corners, meaning either nickels or outside guys, but second level cover players. So to me, when I talk defensive back, so you all understand where I'm talking about, there's second level cover players and then third level cover players. Second level cover players to me are more like the boundary corner, the nickel corner, and in Notre Dame's defense, the field corner as well. Now, sometimes the field corner can be kind of a third level cover player, but most times I count them as a second level cover player. Third level cover players are the safeties. Those are the guys that are either coming down or playing over the top. But there are a lot of times guys that are coming down, keeping things in front of them. So, you know, when I look at Cree, I think he's a second level cover player that can play third level, but your other two corners that you get in this class have to be second level cover players. That doesn't mean that you can't have a guy that can play somewhere else, but their strengths are they are second level cover players. And so that's what Notre Dame is going to focus on. They've got to get two. Now, beyond the two that you want to get, the need for Notre Dame numbers wise, minimum two. I think they would go for three. If you look at the board right now, I'll just go over the board first. I was going to kind of get into specific, but let's go over the board first. I'm a little scattered today, folks. I apologize, but a lot of good stuff to talk about today. So let's talk about the board overall, and then we'll break down each player. So number one, looking at the board, there's one player committed, and you need at least two more. There are five guys on the board right now for Notre Dame at that cornerback position. And then, of course, guys that we all know, there is Mark Zachary from Indianapolis. He's the local guy that Notre Dame is very high on. And then there's the player that I think is the top guy on the board, which is Dallas Golden from Berkeley Prep in Tampa, Florida. From this is my opinion, but also reading between the lines, there's a lot of people at Notre Dame that are very, very high on Dallas Golden. And the impression I get from the people I talk to is that they view Dallas Golden like I do, which is he's a gap closer, he's a needle mover, he's a program changer. He's that kind of guy that can play a lot of different positions. And so you've got him on the board. And I'll get into each of these guys a little bit more specifically as we dive into it. Then you get into a situation where you've got two other guys on the board that the staff is very high on. Actually, three other guys on the board that the staff is very high on. You have Tristan Haynes, who visited recently from Oklahoma. It's from Carl Albert in Oklahoma. Visited recently. Notre Dame did... They made a strong impression on him, and that thing went well. And then they had Chuck McDonald recently on campus from Modern Day, another really good player from that can play corner. He's a little different. Him and Jameer Joseph are the other two guys on the board. I'll just talk about them together. Jameer Joseph's from Jersey. They're corners, but they're more pure outside guys that can maybe be third-level guys. So they're in a little bit of a different scenario than Mark Golden, Mark Zachary, who's more of a pure corner. And then Dallas Golden, who could play wherever the heck he wants, but ideally he's a second-level guy as well. So that's the board. Dallas Golden, Mark Zachary, Tristan Haynes, Chuck McDonald, and Jameer Joseph. There's no doubt that the first two guys I mentioned are guys that the staff really wants. The thing that you have to understand, though, is they like all five of those kids. So I don't know that any of those five kids would be guys that they would say, hey, you know, we're going to hold off on taking you because we're waiting on Mark Zachary to commit, for example. So that creates some interesting things. I think Dallas Golden's the kind of guy that if Dallas wants to come, you take him no matter who you have. I mean, that's the kind of player he is. So they like the board. It could expand, but right now I think the staff is comfortable with where they stand with all five of these guys to say, hey, look, of that group, we're going to get at least two. And then hopefully you can get a third from that group. That's where Notre Dame is at. So let's start on just the second level guys first. It's very important, in my opinion, that Notre Dame closes on Mark Zachary and Dallas Golden. And I'm going to start first talking about Dallas Golden. I've talked about him a lot to you guys in the past. You all know what kind of player I think Dallas Golden is. I think Dallas Golden's a guy that, to me, brings big-time ability to the table. And he's one of those rare players that could start at corner, outside. He could both outsides. He could start in the slot. He could start at safety. He could play running back for you. He could play receiver for you. Like, that's just the kind of guy I think he is. And where Notre Dame likes him, however, is as a corner nickel type of guy. Now, Dallas, to me, I always viewed him as a guy that you bring in and you put him outside, let him develop, and then as he kind of gets comfortable, you say, hey, maybe we can move him inside. Where I think the Micah Bell decision, it happening to me, I'm trying to think of the way I say this. I'll say it like this. I was going to make it complicated. I'm going to make it simple. Nobody is more impacted right away in the 25 recruiting class by Micah Bell's departure than Dallas Golden. And what I mean by that is, could Dallas have come in and beat out Micah Bell? Sure, he could have. Micah would have had an extra, 2 years on him. But with Micah Bell gone and Jordan Clark's gone after this year, Notre Dame will probably have to go to the portal again next year for a nickel. But you're in a situation now where if you land Dallas Golden, you may need to sit down and have some conversation with him and say, look, we'll start you outside. If you get here early, we'll start you outside. But, man, there's going to be a chance for you really quickly to move inside and play a bunch as a rookie. I mean, that's just the reality of it. He's going to have a chance, in my opinion, to come in. This kid's so good. I'm like, you know, part of the reason why I'm a little scattered right now and not – because whenever I put Dallas Golden's film on, I kind of lose concentration on what I'm trying to talk about because I just can't stop watching this kid's film. He's so good. But he's the kind of guy that to me is a come in and play right away guy. He's a Benjamin Morrison type. He's a Christian Gray type. He's that kind of impact player that can come into your program and not just play for you as a rookie, but be a guy for you as a rookie. I really believe Dallas has that ability. And if you can get him in as an early enrollee, it'll make it even easier because Dallas is a little bit of a do-it-all player for Berkeley Prep. Benjamin was more of a pure DB. So Benjamin was more advanced fundamentally than Dallas. And that's not a knock at all on the coaches of Berkeley Prep. That's what they have to do with Dallas because he's so good. He has to help you in so many ways. But if he's a guy that you could even get in as an early enrollee and get him 15 practices of technical work, I don't know how you keep him off the field. I don't. And with Micah Bell leaving, I think that opens up the door wide open for Dallas Golden to come in and play right away. As far as where things stand from a recruiting standpoint, you know, I still believe Notre Dame is in a good position with Dallas, but there's closing that needs to be done. Florida State's pushing hard for Dallas. Clemson's pushing hard for Dallas. You know, he's a young man. He's smart. He's thoughtful. He's not going to rush into any decisions. He wants to make this decision once. From everyone that I've talked to that knows him, has talked to him, has covered his recruitment, I've only had a couple Twitter DMs with him just asking a couple basic questions. Hey, you got a photo that I can use? Things like that. I haven't talked to Dallas or his dad about anything meaningful. So this is me telling you what people that I trust have told me, is that this is a sharp kid that wants to make sure that this decision that he makes is meaningful and impactful and long-term. He's not a kid that's interested in decommitting and flipping and playing that game. So that's why Dallas is taking his time with his decision to make sure wherever he goes, whether it's Notre Dame or Florida State or Clemson or anywhere else, that it's definitely the right place. So I do like where Notre Dame is at. They're going to get him back on campus again this summer. I don't believe his official visit has been established yet, but he will be back on campus in the summer. We do know that. But they've got to close, right? Because right now everybody knows who the team to beat is. It's Notre Dame. And so that's who everybody's shooting for. So this staff is going to have to continue to work hard to let Dallas know how important he is, to let him know how great of a fit he is. And I think that Micah Bell's decision to leave, I think just helped Notre Dame's cause when it comes to recruiting Dallas Golden. Now, from what I'm told, Dallas Golden has never been a kid that has said, hey, play me as a freshman or I'm not coming. I've never heard anyone tell me that. So I don't know that it's a situation. I'm not saying this is a situation where Dallas wasn't going to come or might not come because he couldn't play right away. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is sometimes even when you're recruiting a kid who's bought into what you're selling, if there's new data that you can say, hey, man, we're not promising you anything, but now you have a better understanding of the opportunity that is in front of you, that helps. There's no way that just can't hurt. And with this decision by Micah Bell to leave, with Jordan Clark being a six-year senior and the only other nickel being a linebacker, Micah Bell is going to, or Dallas Golden's going to know, I have a chance to go to Notre Dame and play right away. If I put in the work, if I can learn the defense, if I can do all these kind of things, I can play right away. And that's new for Notre Dame. He was always going to say, hey, you're good enough to play right away. But now it's not even just about him being good enough. It's about, hey, there's an opening now for a player like you to come in and play right away. Yes, we'll go to the portal and all that, but this is an opportunity for you to come in and really be an impactful player. And I think that's the message that Notre Dame can sell Dallas Golden for what he can do the next level.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The other in-state player that Notre Dame is looking at is Mark Zachary. His recruitment's a little bit interesting right now. I think Notre Dame is still the perceived leader for him. Michigan people will say that they think Notre Dame's the leader, and I believe that Notre Dame feels they're the leader. But there's still some closing that needs to be done with Mark Zachary. I don't think Mark Zachary is the no-brainer lock to Notre Dame that some people think he is. Mark Zachary's also a little bit different than Dallas Golden, in that while Dallas Golden is a guy that can play inside, outside, safety, whatever, Mark is a pure corner. And I think ideally he's an outside corner. I do think he has some skill sets that make me think he could play inside, but I like him more outside. I think he's more of an outside corner, a cover guy in the Christian Gray kind of mold. You know, as a kid that's got speed, he's athletic. I wouldn't call him a burner. He's probably more Benjamin Morrison than Christian Gray from a speed standpoint, but his movement is really fluid. Pretty smart football player, a kid that I think has the football IQ. Because one thing about Mike Mickens, and I don't know if I've talked about this enough, but Mike Mickens puts a lot of value on things that most people do, you know, speed and athleticism. But Mike Mickens, more than any cornerbacks coach I've seen at Notre Dame, that he values football smarts. And a lot of people will kind of look past that with corners if they're really athletic and those type of things. Mike Mickens does not. I'll just tell you right now, I won't name names, but there are some big-time corners the last 2-3 years that liked Notre Dame a lot, that Notre Dame would have had a chance to get if Mike Mickens would have pushed for him, and he wouldn't push for him because he didn't think that they had the feel for the game. He values football IQ. And that's what Benjamin Morrison has in droves. It's what makes Jaden Mickey so effective. It's what makes Christian Gray's upside so good. Yes, they have speed and all that, but they're very smart football players. And Mike Mickens was on Mark Zachary before a lot of people were high on Mark Zachary because he saw that. He saw that football IQ. He saw that intelligence. He saw that toughness for a smaller kid. And then as the athleticism has taken off, then he's become a more impactful player. So this is an interesting recruitment. I'm very curious how it's going to finish out. I still like where Notre Dame is right now. I'm not quite as confident in that one as I was maybe a month ago, but there's still some closing to be done, and Notre Dame is going to have a chance to still get Mark Zachary. But landing Mark Zachary is important because he helps solidify your outside future. You've got Leonard Moore from last season. You've got Carson Hobbs. You've got Cree Thomas. If Dallas Golden could be that guy, but Dallas, as I said, could also be the inside guy. He could play everywhere. But Mark's more of a pure outside guy to me. And so if you land him with Cree Thomas a year after getting Leonard Moore and Carson Hobbs, which comes a year after getting Christian Gray, I think that helps solidify things a little bit because he does strike me as much more of an outside type of player. Now, is he a boundary guy? Is he a field guy? That's still a little bit of a question mark for me. But I think when you look at Mark Zachary and his best positions, I do think outside cornerback are where he's best suited at this point in time. And so landing him is important. Is missing on him a deal breaker? No, it's not a deal breaker. It's just one of those things where, but if you're not going to get him, it is a situation where, you know, you're going to have to put some work in to get some other players that I don't know are no-brainer guys that you can get. But there's other good football players in this class that Notre Dame can take a look at, and we'll talk about those guys in a little bit. But there's no doubt when you talk to Notre Dame, you know, sources and you look at how they are recruiting the position, it's very clear. I shouldn't say sources don't indicate this, but it's about how they're recruiting the position. Because the sources I talk to say, we like all these kids. But when you look at like the emphasis on certain things, it does come across that while there's five guys on the board for Notre Dame, it does seem that Golden, Zachary, and Tristan Haynes are kind of at the top of that list right now of guys that they really like. And so you can't deny that this is a kid that the Notre Dame staff has liked. They've liked them for a while. And at some point in time, they have to try to figure out ways to land more of these Indianapolis kids. And obviously, Mark is one of those big guys. They're not going to get Damien Shanklin out of Indianapolis. Hopefully, they can still get Benjamin or get Mark Zachary out of the area as well. And hopefully, they can. But he's a guy that the staff likes quite a bit at that position. So let's talk about the rest of the board here briefly before we get out of here and you all head to whatever it is you're going to do before you go join IB Nation Sports Talk tonight, because obviously that's, I think, something you guys are all going to be doing around 6 o'clock, right? I think so. And first, I want to look at Tristan Haynes. We're going to talk about Tristan Haynes, Jameer Joseph, and Chuck McDonald. This is going to be Tristan Haynes. He is from Carl Albert in the state of that's this high school from the state of Oklahoma. Very dynamic player, long, fast, athletic. He's a very good wide receiver. He's a very good cornerback. He's more of a pure outside guy to me as well. And so, you know, he's a guy that I view as a top 100 caliber player at cornerback. He's still learning the position. He's one of those guys that because he's a two-way player, he's not necessarily the most fundamentally sound guy. I honestly don't care about that. When you've got Mike Mickens as your cornerbacks coach, I don't care if a guy's got fundamental technique or not. Mike Mickens will coach that. What you want to know is, does the guy have the size you want? Does he have the athleticism you want? And does he have the football smarts that you want? And there's no doubt that Mike Mickens believes he has all of those things. He has the athletic skills, but he also has the football IQ, which is why Notre Dame is pushing so hard for him. He's going to be a tough get, let's be honest. I mean, this tends to be a feeder school for the two Oklahoma schools. And it's, from what I've seen in the past, is kids from this high school that Oklahoma wants, they get. And if Oklahoma doesn't want them, then they end up going to Oklahoma State. So this won't be an easy one. And Notre Dame used to have actually a lot of success in the state of Oklahoma. If you go back and look in the 80s and 90s, Notre Dame got a decent amount of kids from Oklahoma. The Brooks brothers were from Oklahoma, for example, and they're not the only ones. Hasn't been a super helpful, productive state in recent years, but obviously they're going to try to change that with Tristan Haynes. But he's a guy that I know the staff likes a lot. He's got excellent skills, and the stuff that he's lacking right now is all coachable. It's all teachable. It's technical stuff. It's footwork. It's things along those lines. And so he's a kid that's got really impressive film. He's a guy the coaching staff is very, very high on. And while I did say earlier, obviously the staff really likes Mark Zachary and Dallas Golden. And Tristan Haynes, from my understanding, is Tristan Haynes is the kid that if he wanted to come, they're saying yes. They're not going to tell him no, because they'll take Dallas Golden no matter what. But they're not going to wait on anybody else and, you know, and tell Tristan Haynes, no, sorry, we're not going to take you. They'll take Tristan Haynes. If he called Notre Dame tomorrow and said, hey, Coach Mickens, man, you know what? I've gone on all these visits. I love Notre Dame. I want to come to Notre Dame. The answer would be, you know, do I have a spot? The answer would be, yeah, we love you. You definitely got a spot. So he's a kid to keep in mind. I think it's going to be tough to get this kid out of the state of Oklahoma, but I've just learned in the last couple of years that if Mike Mickens wants a guy, I'm not going to discount him at all from being able to get that guy. He beat Ohio State and LSU for a kid out of St. Louis, Christian Gray. So I'm never going to, you know, count out Mike Mickens. He beat Nick Saban and Jimmy Lake for Benjamin Morrison. So Notre Dame's going to be in the game because of Mike Mickens and Chad Bowden. But it's still one of those, yeah, but it's Oklahoma. I just got to see it. Look at that speed right there on that particular play, by the way. So I'm very high on Tristan Haynes. He'd be a guy that even if they don't get one of those guys that we know that we've known for a long time, but they get him, that's not a consolation. Tristan Haynes is not a consolation prize. And if you're able to get two corners and one, if Notre Dame's able to get two of Dallas Golden, Mark Zachary, and Tristan Haynes to go with Cree Thomas, I think that's a heck of a class. I also believe that if the right three wanted to come, that Notre Dame would push for that and take that, especially now that Micah Bell's gone, because that's opened up a spot at the cornerback room. So if you want to ask me, what my dream class is for Notre Dame in 2024 or 2025 class. You want to know my dream classes? I'll tell you right now. And I look, I like Chuck McDonald a lot. I like Jameer Joseph a lot. But if I'm putting together a dream class, you have the four, you have the three guys that you have right now. You have Ivan Taylor, you have Ethan Long, you have Cree Thomas. I'm finishing that class out with Jadon Blair at safety, home run. And I'm pushing for, and if I'm Mike Mickens, I'm pounding the table for give me Dallas Golden, give me Mark Zachary, and give me Tristan Haynes. I'm pounding the table for it because that to me is that trio changes the game for Notre Dame. Two of those three is a big gap closing group to go with Cree Thomas. If you're able to get that four-man group, then all these things we're talking about in this show today, what's the future look like? The numbers past 25 get a little bit sketchy. Who knows what's going to happen with this? Are they going to have enough corner depth outside? Are they going to have enough nickel depth inside? If you go out and get Cree Thomas, Dallas Golden, Tristan Haynes, Mark Zachary with Ivan Taylor at safety and Jadon Blair at safety and Ethan Long at safety, you just landed the best secondary class Notre Dame has landed since Lou Holtz was the head coach. It's that good. It's a generational recruiting class in the secondary. I'm not – look, you could say I'm being hyperbolic, and that's fair, and I hear myself saying it, and I hear how hyperbolic it sounds. I hear how sunshine pumping it sounds, but I'm telling y'all, you're watching the film with me. You add this group of corners with Ivan Taylor, who's a top 50 recruit, with Jadon Blair, who I view as a top 50 to 75 recruit, with Ethan Long, who's a four-star recruit, in a corner class that has Dallas Golden, Mark Zachary, Tristan Haynes, and Cree Thomas, where Cree Thomas is your four, and then the debates about who's number three, is it Haynes or Zachary? That's a generational recruiting. That's a generational secondary class. It just is. Now, will Notre Dame be able to get it? It's going to be tough, real tough. But they're in the fight for it, in my opinion. And so, to me, and Eric Santini said it would be the best in the nation if Ohio State didn't have two five-star corners and good safeties. Look, Eric, you can continue to believe the recruiting rankings, but I'm telling you, I've watched every kid that Ohio State has in their secondary class, and they're excellent. If Notre Dame gets the kids that I'm talking about, their class isn't better. I'm just telling you, I don't care what Rivals says or 247 or On Three. I'm telling you, I've watched the film, and they would not be better. They would not be better. It's a generational class. It's a class that Notre Dame hasn't had in decades, and it's possible. It's going to be hard, but it's possible. There's no question about it. And the next 2 months to me are going to make this, it's going to make or break, right? Because you know, you've got all of May. These kids are going to visit in June. You've got to close. It's a closing period for Notre Dame. And if they're able to close, then the future it's in the secondary is more of the same. More of the same, folks. It's going to be all Americans like Benjamin Morrison and Xavier Watts and guys that maybe don't get the credit but are excellent football players like Cam Hart. And it's going to be that. You're going to have that. But the difference is you're not going to have okay players at other positions. You're going to have a chance to have difference makers across the board. And for those of you who are young and older cats like me and Salty and some of the older guys in the chat, Michael Campbell, some of us that Michael Johnson that are in the chat, that we're older. We watched the Lou Holtz era. When Notre Dame was that program in the late 80s and early 90s, that's what they were doing every year. They would lose a guy to the first round of the NFL draft and replace him with somebody that was just as good, if not better. You know, and that's where Notre Dame was. I think they can get there again as long as they got Mike Mickens and Chad Bowden and Marcus Freeman around. But that's what you've got a chance to do. We've seen signs of it, getting Benjamin Morrison and Christian Gray and Jaden Mickey and guys like that. But now they've got a chance to take this to a completely different level. And you can't deny the fact that the success they've had on the field is impacting that. Because kids see, I can go to Notre Dame and I can be a big-time football player and still do all the other things that I want to do as a student athlete as well. So they got to finish it up. They got to rack it up. They got to stack these classes on top of each other. You know, but if you're able to, if you're in a 2-year span, able to add Leonard Moore, Carson Hobbs, Dallas Golden, Mark Zachary, Tristan Haynes at corner, Cree Thomas. I mean, I'll put that cornerback room in 2-3 years up against anybody. That's what I see on film. And that's what they got to do. But if they miss on these guys, you're going to be good at corner, but the margin is now much, much tighter. So there's a lot at stake for Notre Dame these next couple months at cornerback recruiting and safety recruiting. Because as I mentioned earlier, speaking to Micah Bell's situation, if you are able to get Jadon Blair, that does give you some flexibility to be able to use Ivan Taylor in certain looks in that slot position as well. So that's where Notre Dame is at, everybody, when it comes to recruiting. There's a chance for this staff to put together a grand slam home run type of class. But can they close? That's the question. Can they close? If they can do that, we'll see. But they've got to do that. And Archer made up with a comment, Ohio State fan, said, if Ohio State lands their top targets of Brew, McNutt, and Deland, and Notre Dame lands their guys, both teams will feel like they have the best secondary class in the country. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And that's the key. It's not so much about who's better here, who's better there. It's these are elite secondary groups. And we can debate all we want. Is Ohio State's better? Is Notre Dame's better? And that's a fair debate. I'm taking Notre Dame's class. No doubt. I'm not as high on Trey McNutt as others. I think Jadon Blair is better than him. I think that Ivan Taylor is better than him. He's a good football player. But the point is, are you able to go out there and land? And this is, and for you, Archer, you're an Ohio State fan, so this is kind of what you're used to, right? This is why it's important for Notre Dame, because for a long time, they haven't been able to consistently put together secondary classes that they could look at and say, we can compete with Ohio State. We can compete with Georgia. We can compete with LSU. We can compete with Alabama. It used to be that way for Notre Dame. It absolutely used to be that way. You know, people forget when Notre Dame played Miami back in 1988, oh, Miami had all the athletes. Notre Dame had a top 10 draft pick at cornerback. They had a second-round 10-year NFL vet at safety in Pat Terrell. They had 4 or 5 DBs from that team got drafted. And then when Todd Light left, he got replaced by Tom Carter, who became a first-round pick. And he got replaced by Bobby Taylor, who became a second-round pick. Jeff Burris started his corner at his career corner, ended up moving to safety because of how low they were at corner, and he became a first-round draft pick at safety. Notre Dame used to do that on the regular back under Lou Holtz. It's been a long time since they've done that, and this is the opportunity is there. And to your point, Archer, is – being able to be on the same level where you're having a debate of is your secondary class better than Georgia's? Is your secondary class better than Ohio State's? That's where Notre Dame has to be. And they've been that way at corner in a couple of classes. The Benjamin Morrison, Jaden Mickey, that was excellent. The Christian Gray and Micah Bell was very good. Well, now Mike is out of that. Leonard Moore, Carson Hobbs, another good class. Is it on the same level as some others? Maybe not. But this class gives you a chance to be really, really special. And that's where that's why it's so important that Notre Dame can finish in this class. A lot of work to be done. A lot of work to be done. But that's what they're shooting for. Before I get out of here, there are a couple super chats that I'm going to get to before we leave. And I appreciate those. Iden Benami says, like we've said before, the Marcus Freeman effect gap closing. I agree with you, man. I mean, this is what he's changing. There's no doubt. The skill talent that they're landing on a regular basis is really impressive. Isaac Atkins with a super chat. Thank you, Isaac. If you could predict the top 3 defenses next year, who are you picking? You know, Isaac, I don't know that I have a good answer for that. I need to go and look at study a little bit more who's coming back, what portal pickups are happening. I do plan on doing some breakdowns on this when we get into next season. Get into the summer and we've get out of the portal season, excuse me, because we've had summer camp, a spring ball season, the portal's picking up. So let's see how it goes. Just off the top of my head, I don't know that this is my top 3 because I'm going to give you more than 3, but some teams that I think are going to be in the conversation for having, you know, 3 of the best defenses in college football next year. I think Notre Dame's going to be in that conversation if a couple of things can go right. I think Ohio State's going to be in that conversation. They had some key losses at linebacker, but they have some talented young linebackers that are battling for playing time this year. They brought back some, they brought back some really good ball players on the defensive line, especially on the edge. They got to find some answers up the middle for some guys. They look for Michael Hall, who's a really good football player, but they have a lot of guys coming back who play a lot of football. They should still be pretty good on defense. Georgia's got a chance to be really, really good on defense this year. They'll have a chance to be really good. Michigan is going to have a chance if they can get – if Michigan's going to have a really good front seven, but I have questions about their secondary, especially with Rod Moore getting hurt. So they're going to have to answer some conversation, some questions in the secondary before I'm ready to put them into the conversation. Texas, maybe. I still have questions about the secondary with Texas as far as being an elite defensive team. I think their defense is going to be good enough for them to win, you know, be a championship contender, but I don't know if they're going to be a top five team. I think Penn State's got a chance to have a top five defense this year. They're not there yet, but they've got a shot. I need to study Oregon more. I'm not quite sure of all they have coming back. You know, they were very good last year. I got to study what Iowa has coming back. I would have maybe had UCLA in a conversation that's trending in that direction, but they lost their defensive coordinator to USC. But just off the top of my head, those are the teams that I think have the best shot to be those top 3 to 5 defenses next year. Alabama, to me, is going to have some talent, but they're going to probably have more question marks than they've had in a while. So they're going to be good on defense, but not elite like they've been. Those teams, to me, have a chance to have those really, really elite defenses. Somebody mentioned Utah. Utah's really good on defense, but they're never elite on defense. They're just good in their league. But I don't know that. I mean, you saw what happened to them against Ohio State, although they were very injury prone. You know, Florida could score on them a little bit 2 years ago. So they're very good, but I don't know if they're like top 3 to 5 elite, in my opinion. I think Clemson, if they can find some answers in the secondary, I think Clemson's got a very good front seven coming back next year. But they lost Nate Wiggins. They lost Andrew McCaba last year. So they're going to have to find some answers in the secondary. If they can find good answers in the secondary, they'll have a chance to have an elite defense next year as well. Will it be as good as some of the others? We'll see. I love Clemson's front seven. They just got to find some secondary answers for them to really be there. So that's just, like I said, we'll do more of a deep dive. Just so you all know, we're going to do it's not going to be a feature, but it's going to be subjects that we're going to talk about this summer when we get into the offseason, when Vince and I are getting together for our summer shows. We're going to do sort of a ranking the top different aspects around the nation and where does Notre Dame fit. So we'll do like offensive defense, then we'll do backfields, receiver, tight end groups, we'll do O-lines, we'll do D-lines, linebacker units, secondary, and then we'll rank our top groups. And then if Notre Dame is in that top group, we'll talk about it, but then we'll talk about how Notre Dame stacks up against those top teams and where they need to be to get into that top group. So that'll be some fun stuff that we'll do this summer. And that'll be like a different show each time. Like we'll do a quarterbacks one day and then offenses one day and then defenses one day. So I'm looking forward to getting into that. So we'll do that more like in June and July after we've had a chance to study all the portal action and spring balls and really dive into each team and do more thorough analysis. But those are my top ones. Tyrell Wilson with a super chat. Thank you, Tyrell. Tyrell asked, Dylan Edwards just entered the portal. Is Notre Dame interested in him, or is he interested in Notre Dame thoughts? So, Tyrell, we had a segment about this between this section and the recruiting and then the previous section where we talked about the future. And so I talked a little bit about that. If you want to go back and listen to that for a more thorough answer, you can. I'll just give you a brief response since you did give a super chat, which I appreciate. But I'm not going to necessarily repeat all of what I said. I don't know that would be a situation where Notre Dame would have a lot of interest. I haven't been told this by anybody at Notre Dame. I haven't asked this question. I'm just telling you, I know of what the relationship was like when he decommitted and how that went. And I believe that you know, the way he decided to decommit has left it to where I don't know that Notre Dame would pursue him. If he called, would they listen? Possibly. But I don't know that's an avenue that Notre Dame would want to go down, number one, just because of that. Number two, I don't think the fit is there as much as it was a year ago. Or the need is there as much as it was a year ago. Because of, you know, you've got Logan Saldate coming in, you've got Jordan Faison on the team, you've got Jaden Greathouse in that position. You know, you've got Sean Terry committed in 2025. They're recruiting Tanuk Hines, who's a dynamic player. You know, he's not a running back in college. So I don't know that there's the need for him that there was before. Combine that with the other stuff, I just don't think it makes sense. Unless he wants to just come and say, hey, coach, I don't care about playing receiver. I don't care about playing running back. I just want to return kicks. If he wants to do that, maybe. But I think that ship has sailed. So I'd be surprised if Notre Dame would – again, this is my opinion. I would be a little surprised if Notre Dame wanted to go down that road, to be completely honest with you. So thank you for the super chat. So that's going to do it, everybody. Hit that like button. Hit the subscribe button. Tonight, 6 o'clock, IB Nation Sports Talk. You're not going to want to miss that. I'll be back tomorrow with some more fun, interesting topics. I'm going to – when there's not news breaking, I'm going to dive into sort of a post-spring analysis of the team. That's going to be coming up. I'll talk offense. I'll talk defense. I'm going to go position by position, where things stand right now, what I'm comfortable with, what are my question marks, what answers we need to find. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll talk about that. And then, of course, we'll have all those new segments at the end of those shows that I'm going to talk about. So it's going to be kind of like, you know, taking some different topics, 2-3 different topics a day, talking about them in that kind of format, and it just giving you guys a little, instead of talking about one topic in one way and just, you know, rambling on and on and on, which you guys know I like to do. I like to talk, but I think it's more fun to have different segments and different aspects to talk about. So we'll do that. So tomorrow, probably as long as there's no big breaking news, we'll talk about the Notre Dame offense, just what we learned about the offense, what questions still remain, just a general overview of where things stand today for the Notre Dame offense as they get ready to head into the fall, and what are some areas they're going to have to improve upon and find answers for as they move forward. So that'll be a fun topic as now that spring's behind us, summer recruiting's coming up, summer workouts are coming up. And then of course, before y'all know it, I mean, it's April 23rd. We're thinking, we got 4 months, 4 months and a week before the first game, but I'm telling you, it's going to get on us like that, man. And I cannot wait. I cannot wait to see what this football team is going to do this year. So I appreciate you. Anyway, folks, have a great rest of your day. And it's going to be a fun week. There's no doubt. Make sure you've signed up for the message board at boards.archbreakdown.com. I have a full breakdown of the Notre Dame offensive line from the blue team. I went play by play, broke down every play, graded every player on every play, handed out grades, gave analysis of what I thought of from the performance of the players, talked a lot about, I think some of you are going to like what I said about Emil Wagner. And then tonight I'm going to break down the gold game and do the same thing with the gold team of the offensive line. So really good analysis. I don't know that it's something you're going to find anywhere else. And we're going to start doing a lot more of that on the boards at irishbreakdown.com, but that's only for premium members. And so if you're not a member, sign up now. You can find that at boards.irishbreakdown.com. Really good content in my opinion. And I think the people that are in the chat that read through it will also agree that was really good content. So definitely check that out at boards.irishbreakdown.com. Have an awesome rest of your day, and I'll see you again very soon on the Irish Breakdown Podcast.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.